By listening to the Conscious Fertility Podcast, you agree to not use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician or healthcare provider for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast. Welcome to Conscious Fertility, the show that listens to all of your fertility questions so that you can move from fear and suffering to peace of mind and joy. My name is Lauren Brown. I'm a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine and a clinical hypnotherapist. I'm on a mission to explore all the paths to peak fertility and joyful living. It's time to learn how to be and receive so that you can create life on purpose. Today on Conscious Fertility Podcast, we have my colleague and my friend, Lori Deshar. Now, Lori Deshar's intuitive work as an alchemical healer, mentor, and teacher is supported by her strong foundation of theoretical understanding and clinical experience, including she has over 30 years of Chinese medical practice, 12 years as a senior faculty member at the Tri-State College of Acupuncture in New York City, as well as years of teaching at institutes and retreat centers throughout the United States, Canada, and the UK. I can let you know that I had Lori come to Vancouver once to give one of her amazing retreats. And she's not only a practitioner and a teacher, but she's also an author. She's authored books such as Five Spirits, Alchemical Acupuncture for Psychological and Spiritual Healing, Kigo, Exploring the Spiritual Essence of Acupuncture Points Through the Changing Seasons, and one of my favorites, because it relates to our conscious talk here, and I'm also was honored to be one of the people to read the draft and endorse, is The Chemy of Inner Work, A Guide for Turning Illness and Suffering into True Healing and Well-Being, which is why, Lori, I wanted to chat with you just about when I think of conscious fertility and an individual transforming into mother and your whole idea of this inner work. You know, fertility is like a wake-up call, and there's a lot of struggling when people are trying to get pregnant. And just your idea of this book of A Guide for Turning Illness and Suffering into True Healing and Well-Being, I thought you'd be a perfect expert to have on our podcast today. And when we talked off air, you were sharing with me that, you know, it's like a whole new story, this whole idea of getting pregnant and giving birth. And so thank you for welcoming my invitation to talk to our audience today.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Lauren. I always enjoy our conversations. We'll never know what we're going to end up talking about. But this one, when you invited me, there were a number of thoughts I had about where we could go with the conversation. But to take the risk to really dive into a question that's been very, very present for me, this question of what does it mean to invite a soul to embody at this time on our planet when there's so much uncertainty and challenge and pressure as far as the environment? I mean, it can look some days really scary and bleak, but I continue to hold that we're at a time of very exciting transformation, even that perhaps our planet Gaia is going through her own rebirthing. That's a way that I hold all this. It's helpful, transforming what looks scary, pathological into something with a lot of opportunity. But how do we call a being to join us here in, as you say, a conscious way?
And what is your experience? And I know, like, you offer retreats and you do a lot of alchemical work with the public. And so the work is transformational. And so how do you work with somebody or respond to somebody that feels that pressure? Hey, I have this desire to get pregnant. Maybe they have family pressures to get pregnant, cultural pressures to get pregnant, or their just own inner desire to get pregnant. And yet, like you said, the world, you know, there's so many crazy things that appears happening in the world. And, you know, there seems like on a weekly basis, almost there's shootings and there's just scary times for people. And some people are suggesting we shouldn't be trying to populate the world anymore, right? Look at the environment. So how do we do this consciously? And why would we want to bring in new beings into this planet?
Even just hearing you ask those questions is, I mean, it's physically, you can feel viscerally the painfulness of even having to ask those questions. And yet, I feel that we do have to ask these questions. I feel that it's the responsible, mindful, conscious approach to choosing to have a child. So I guess I'd start, as you know, that I'm a mother. And being a mother of a daughter has been one of the most rewarding, challenging, transformational learning experiences of my life. And now my daughter is married to a wonderful guy. Now I have a son who I love, my son-in-law, and they have a three-year-old. And you know, Lauren, I'm like the kind of grandmother I always said I would never be, doting crazy about her. It's a big part of my life. And so when I ask these questions, it is in no way to minimize the incredible joy and importance and soul growth that comes from being a parent. But I think for me, and even my daughter and son-in-law thinking about having another child, and we talk about it, and we talk about what does it mean and how do we prepare these little beings for the world that they're coming into. So I think the first thing is to just be willing to ask the question. Because, you know, I know when I was wanted to get pregnant, it was like, get out of my way. Even, you know, my husband at the time, it was like, don't talk to me about waiting. You know, this is it. I'm ready. And it was just such a strong feeling of I'm going for it. But I think within that, you know, I talk a lot about the pause practice and how important it is for us to take those moments to pause, even to the instincts and the drives of the instincts, to almost like put our hand on the back of that inner animal and just take a few breaths and say, okay, you know, what is my commitment to a being that I'm bringing into the world right now? You know, what is my responsibility? How do I respond to the realities of the world? So again, in the midst of the joy, of the excitement, of the drive to be a parent, I feel like being willing to pause, being willing to wait a moment, to make a space, because of course, from the perspective of our medicine, of Chinese medicine, that pause, that breath, that space, even if I am in that kind of moving into the medical kinds of processes, to keep pausing and breathing and listening, because the pause allows spirit to come in to guide us and to inform our choices each step of the way, to pause, to reflect, and to listen. When I think about the responsibility of being a parent now, one of the things it begins with is remembering that each being who comes into this planet has a mandate. I mean, and again, I'm staying very close to our medicine here, which says, you know, the Tao is reborn with each life. And each time that sperm and egg comes together, there's actually a kind of lightning strike of spirit. We can even say that there's a scooping up of starlight that comes down. So to really know that this is a sacred event, even if it becomes medicalized, to not lose touch with the sacredness of what we are doing when we bring, when we call, when we invite life to embody, when we invite spirit to come down and join us here on this planet. I feel that staying close to the sacredness of it, staying close even to not pushing our own will, but knowing that there's a higher sort of purpose and there's a larger story at work, is important now. And that we are, what can I say, almost sacred servants to that larger story, for me is a really important consideration.
Do you think then a lot of our listeners, they're struggling getting pregnant, like they want this pregnancy and they have to work fairly hard at it, many, and some come to do conscious work thinking that, okay, if this will help, I'll work on my consciousness. Do you think then the Earth, the Gaia, our planet, it's requiring a transformation of these mothers and fathers to be? So we have conscious parenting. So we go from conscious fertility to conscious parenting to these children growing up to be conscious. Is this part of, when you think of the mandate, kind of what could be unfolding that will help the earth heal and our planet heal? Because historically, good food, good wine, and if it's easy, you have a child. A lot of that's done unconsciously.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, in these current times, that the people that are struggling with fertility, that they may be part of that mandate somehow, because those that do get pregnant don't take it for granted.
Yeah, I love that, Lauren. I really love where you're going with that. And it's very much what we would call an alchemical approach, because I mean, the essence of an alchemical approach, just as the title of the book, The Alchemy of Inner Work, is transforming suffering, transforming a problem or a difficulty or a challenge. Say getting pregnant is not necessarily an illness per se, but it's certainly a suffering. It certainly pushes a person to be willing, as you say, to work hard to really feel how much they want this, as opposed to it's just like, okay, like you said, let's have a nice dinner and a glass of wine and suddenly we're pregnant. I think that the challenge does invite or open the doorway. It is an opportunity for a certain kind of shift or transformation of consciousness. And unfortunately, I think sometimes once you get into the whole medicalization of fertility and birth, it becomes very quantified. It becomes very much about your numbers and you're, you know, looking at the tests and getting it there on time and making sure that your, you know, pre and post treatments are all scheduled. But I think the opportunity there, the transformational possibility there, is to actually begin to do the deeper work, to learn how to lean back into trust, even to say that my will to get pregnant, that pushing and that pressure may actually be interfering with the process itself. That's a big one, I know. And again, as I said, I totally understand the deep longing and desire to bring to life. So the invitation to say, oh, I also need to lean back into something greater than just my own will here, that when I am engaged in these medical practices, I'm also going to engage in meditation processes, that the Qigong that I do or the treatments that I do are not just about, okay, let me get pregnant, but let me learn to see and be in my body different. And I do think that very much is what the planet is asking of us now.
Can you speak to the fertility trauma and these terms patients have shared with me? You know, their unsuccessful IVF has caused them trauma, or their miscarriage has caused them trauma, or just the ongoing trying has caused them fertility trauma. And you presented at one of our integrated fertility symposiums on fertility and trauma. And I thought you'd be a good person to talk to because of the alchemy of the inner work, because conscious work is inner work. Can you talk a bit about the trauma and an approach to that transformation that you just alluded to briefly, that you see the people that you take through retreats, whether it's cancer, death of a loved one, financial ruin, or infertility, whatever their wake-up call is, whatever their suffering is, whatever is the trigger of their suffering. Can you talk a bit about the process that you would expect some of these people to go through, to come through the other side?
Well, let me back up, Lauren, because I know we've got a big topic here. When we talk about the transformation of consciousness or conscious fertility, or what the planet is asking of us now, the first thing for me is that we're being asked to actually look at the material world differently, not just as an assemblage of numbers, quantities, hormones, genetic material that can be analyzed, but as a kind of illuminated material domain where spirit comes to reside, where what we call in Chinese medicine, the Shen, this light. When we get pregnant, when we go towards pregnancy, we're actually inviting, from a Taoist perspective, we're inviting starlight down to come into embodiment. So the shift for me begins with a shift in how we are looking at the very world that we're inhabiting, that we are willing to move beyond looking at the world as just a physical place, that we are actually beginning to open our eyes in a new way to seeing that spirit is engaged here. We're engaged with spiritual realities. So what that means is that when we begin a process of getting pregnant, that we actually hold, we are in awe, that we say, oh, this is way beyond just me, just my own desire here. That we say, oh, I'm actually engaged in a process of bringing divinity into material form. And that's, of course, a huge, that sort of changes the whole game, because it's not just about my baby and my life. It's about how I am engaging with the sacred here. When we turn our gaze to the trauma, like you're asking me about that piece of, oh, I've tried, I've quote unquote failed. Again, from a larger perspective, there's no failure here. There's just a process that we're engaged in, that we are going to, yes, we may move beyond, you know, just simple trying to get pregnant into more complex medical procedures. But let's not lose sight of the fact that in each of these invitations, there's an unknown, there's a mystery. And so I think when you talk about conscious fertility, Lauren, you're talking about not losing sight of these other levels, of these other domains that are part of the process. So even to meditate or to bring our awareness down to the dantian, to the core, it's not just because, oh, that might help me get pregnant. It's because that is a shift in consciousness that contributes to the healing of our entire planet, that we're engaged in that. Talk about healing trauma. That's a huge topic. But what I would say is it begins by recognizing that there's a kind of po soul, that's the word in Chinese, the po, which is the animal within me that needs my care. Healing trauma for me begins with what I would say turning the light around and caring for my own being, caring for the animal that lives within me. That can mean just taking some time, being willing to rest, being willing to let the emotions move through me, being willing to not just rush from, say, 1 month that does, you know, oh, we've tried and then, you know, it didn't work this month, rather than just jumping right back into, let's try again, taking that pause, giving myself a month to just get care, get acupuncture, you know, really rest, do all the things that are good for me. And included in that are, I use flower essences, I use essential oils. And there's a lot about that in the book, The Alchemy of Inner Work. I don't want to get into specifics here because it's a big topic. But if people are feeling like, oh, I'm having that kind of trauma, I really actually recommend the book. Because there's lots in the book that I wrote with my husband, Benjamin Fox, really simple practices, acupuncture points that you can touch yourselves. Like one of them is just on the center of the palm of your hand and just touching that point with an essential oil like rose oil will begin to calm, as I say, the animal body that is really where trauma resides, where trauma lives in us. So this very simple point at the center of the palm called the palace of weariness, people want to just touch it right now. You can feel it has an immediate calming effect on the heart. It's a point that you can do even after you go in for IVF, say, or even after you hear some upsetting news or after a miscarriage. This is a healing point. They call it the palace of weariness because it is the palace where we go to recuperate, to recover. So these simple techniques, touching points on our own bodies. And again, I go into those points in the book, but this is a really simple one that anyone can do. And you can touch it right now as you're listening to the podcast, if you're not driving. But if you are driving, then when you get out of the car, your finger will fall right into it. It's between the second and third finger. And it begins to heal a part of the body called the heart protector. So those are tools that I give my patients. I like people to have take-home tools. So simple rose essential oil is the most beautiful healing oil, especially, I think, for the feminine, going through these kinds of difficult, but we can say difficult challenges that are also opportunities for growth.
And I really appreciate that you shared, and I want to emphasize the self-care part of consciousness, and in this case, conscious fertility is self-care. A lot of the people I see, they take care of everybody at the expense of themselves, their partner, in-laws, parents, family members, work colleagues. They're taking care of everybody. And so to have that permission and willingness to take care of yourself, and I've often heard consciousness is a form of self-awareness, or consciousness is caring about how you feel. And we're not talking about materialistic pleasures, like to feel good materialistically. We're talking about connecting to your inner essence here and being soulful. I would like to say being selfish, but it has such a bad connotation in our society. But we really are talking about being selfful, soulful, filling yourself up so you're available to others because you are full. And I like the fact that you bring this in, and you brought up that point as well, just that calming point. Because a big part of conscious fertility is that idea of receptivity and flow. And you shared at the beginning of our discussion that they're trying so hard, and that trying so hard can end up impeding, blocking the flow and receptivity. And so I know the listeners, I hear it all the time. You're saying, okay, so how do I let go so I can get pregnant? there is a doing to being, right? And so what you're sharing, Lori, is a form of being, this alchemy that you're sharing, there's a beingness to it, a transformation. In our society, we need to do things, right? And so I'm fortunate that the programs you offer and the things I do in my clinic and your book gives us things to do that bring us back to our beingness, which is great.
Beautiful. Yes, exactly. When I work with women who are trying to get pregnant, and even that word trying, maybe we can like let go of the trying, women who are opening to inviting a spirit into their bodies in order to create a home, to create a nest. So that invitation, that opening. One of the things I've told so many women over the years is think yin. Be as yin as you can possibly be. This is completely counter to the culture.
Can you explain what that would mean? Because some of our listeners may not know the yin term from a Chinese medicine.
So yin, from the Chinese perspective, we have yin and yang, male and female. And of course, both are necessary for pregnancy. But for the feminine, for the woman who's opening, as you use the word receptivity, it's about really letting go of everything the culture demands of us to achieve, to do, to be busy, to have your to-do list, but to really go into a kind of receptive. So the yin is the feminine, the dark, the much more, well, they call it the shady side of the hill. That's the actual character in Chinese, but it's that which is lunar.
Stillness. I'm thinking stillness. Of stillness.
But it's like an active stillness, like you said, Lauren. It's not about just being numb. It's about actively being still. And I've told women, just like take baths every day, get in water, soak and breathe and listen to beautiful music and feel the depth and the potency of the feminine. And the thing is, again, if we don't think of that as like, okay, I'm going to do all that so I can get pregnant, but rather that I'm going to do that as a way of honoring the earth, honoring the yin. The yin has been so abused and maligned. The receptive side, the lunar side, the night side, the soul, the dreamy parts of who we are as humans has been so taken from us, marginalized, even the idea of gestation, of receptivity, those are not qualities that are highly honored or rewarded in Western cultures. So in a certain sense, the shift in consciousness that I see Gaia asking of us is to really understand that doing by not doing is just as important as the doing by doing. That quality, even when you are in, say, a process of trying to get pregnant, to really continually reframe it as, I am willing to receive. I am leaning back into this larger kind of yin holding that the planet actually offers us, I feel is part of the transformation that is potential here. I'm going to bring it back to my own very personal experience right now, not as a mother, but as a grandmother, because there are times, honestly, where I just want to take my granddaughter, you know, say, I'm going to protect you. I'm not going to let you feel any of the suffering on this planet. I don't want you to have to face any challenges here. I don't want her to know about what's out there. There, you know, of course, when I see the news and I'm just like, what can I do? That sends me into, literally, I can get into a state of not sleeping, of just being really, really upset. And then my husband will remind me, I am not in charge. You know, that what I can do is cultivate the conditions for her to have a feeling of backup, of strength, of support, letting her know that she is backed up, but in a certain sense, trusting that she also has her own, and I'm going to use that word Tao, her own mandate, that she came here because she's supposed to be here now. And I think when I sit with the idea of what does it mean to be conscious in our engagement with parenting or grandparenting or even being godparents, special people to young people now, I think so much of it, that one of the big requests is that we can tune into the larger supports to lean back and stay mindful of what the planet also needs right now. And the planet doesn't need us to be as busy as we are. I think one of the requests is to honor that, what we call the yin, the feminine, the deep, you know, I think of it as like the dark goddess of the earth. And sometimes she has her own timeline. You know, that's the thing. In alchemy, we say the timing isn't under my control. What I can do is keep creating the conditions. You know, when we're thinking about pregnancy, and I think, Lauren, this is very much your approach, that what I do is create the conditions for that miracle to happen and to create those conditions in a conscious, mindful way that allows for a receptivity, for self-care, especially. Like any woman right now who is opening to pregnancy, I think she needs to really see herself as that sort of goddess vehicle, you know, opening to something that is very serious, very sacred, and requires a deep surrendering to these energies that are beyond just me, beyond just what I want.
And just like you're talking about your granddaughter, how you want to cultivate that safety and the Tao for her, these women wanting to have a baby, it's cultivating that Tao inside of themselves. Yes. So they become receptive to bring in that life. And if somebody is a goddess, then they, I think of like Cleopatra idea, they're taking baths with essential oils. They're getting their massage or their acupuncture. They're getting lots of self-care.
Yeah. And I think that's so important because so often all of that, the sensuality, the beauty, the deep femininity of that process gets lost when it becomes medicalized. I think that that has, when I've seen that happen for women, and even the relationship between the parents gets so stressed, and it becomes again like a quantified laboratory experiment that is either going to succeed or not succeed. I feel like it's really important, if we think alchemically, to be very aware and mindful of counterbalancing that medical model with the tools of what we would say, I call them the tools of alchemy, but we could say the tools of these traditional medicines that would recommend, yeah, that we also need to be doing ritual. We also need to be touching, you know, the deeper spirit in our own body. And whether it's healing the trauma of, say, a miscarriage, healing the trauma of, you know, even a birth, that an unsuccessful, many unsuccessful attempts, it begins by caring. Begins by caring, as you say, not in a selfish way, caring for the body as a sacred space, as, you know, this animal, this instinctual animal that is part of me is also a kind of connection to the earth and to the sacredness of the earth.
With conscious fertility, this idea, this concept is that you can be at peace in a unhappy situation. So in the unhappy situation here is needing medical support to get pregnant or not having it happen on your timeline. That's the unhappy situation. And you can be in peace going through that process. So it doesn't have to be suffering. So that's one reason why I wanted to talk to you about conscious fertility and alchemy in general. And then the other part, our good friend and colleague, Randine Lewis, had once shared that, you know, when you're younger, when you're in your 20s, you're physically strong, but maybe not spiritually mature. And it's easy to get pregnant, but you're busy trying to establish or find out who you are. And so you're not necessarily consciously parenting, but the child has your physical, we call it Jing in Chinese medicine, right? And when you're older, in your late 30s and early 40s, if you're trying to get pregnant, well, you don't have the physicality. And so she said, to trump the physical, you need an incredible spirit. You need to have your shit together, is what she said to me as a woman. And she said, you know, often women, when they're older, are more spiritually mature. And when you're trying to get pregnant in your late 30s, early 40s, my interpretation is this is where conscious work is even more important, because for whatever reason, we don't understand. But when we have these miracles, it comes from another, I don't know if you call it dimension, domain, but these spontaneous healings are these things that just don't make sense from how we understand it from science. It's that spirit side. And that's the idea of this consciousness, again, is tapping into that inner part of you that's beyond that animal side, that animal part of yourself. And I'm wondering, because of your work, because you do work so much in this field, what are your thoughts from what Randine has shared in that area as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's such a profound insight. I think what I know is that all spiritual traditions of ancient times would recognize actually that you don't even really begin to be able to develop on a soul level until your mid-30s. It's like even the slight shifts in hormones that happen at that time, if we think of it rather than, oh, you know, my estrogen's going down, but rather that my soul capacities are shifting. So the drives, the instincts, and the, like you said, Lauren, the big Jing or life force that we're born with that gradually lessens in a certain sense as we age, from an alchemical perspective, it's not a lessening. It's an opportunity to transform. So that transformation of, again, we're using the word Jing, it's the essences, the life force, rather than just seeing it as, oh, my life force is dwindling, or my eggs are getting less, whatever people say, or my estrogen's going down. It's like, no, actually the opportunity is to transform that into wisdom, into compassion, into a sort of vision or capacity to see more deeply into the spiritual dimension of life. And I think that is in fact the opportunity of having to actually go through a process, not just getting pregnant, you know, snap your fingers and it's done and now off and running as a parent, but rather to being called to do this work is an opportunity for soul development. Now, I'm sure that there are women who are listening to this and just really, you know, saying that's complete BS. You know, you try doing this. But you, the truth is, you try doing anything that we get called to deal with in this embodied state, part of the trip is that things can be hard. That's exactly why we wrote the book, because people come in, generally they come into an acupuncture treatment, they come in to a session saying, fix this so I don't feel this pain, or fix this so I can get pregnant. Sometimes we can. I mean, that's the amazing thing. Sometimes we can. But for me, the real work is not the fixing of it, but the opportunity for growth that these experiences offer us.
It's the transformational side. And I want to add to what you're sharing here, because you're right. Some people are like, come on, you try this. And we all have our wake-up calls. Some have a diagnosis of cancer, which I've seen in my patients coming for conscious work, not conscious fertility, but conscious work. Some have a child diagnosed with a terminal illness, so a young child coming for that conscious work. And it's the transformation. And when it comes to fertility, that can be somebody's wake-up call. And I'm going to rewind a bit and go back when we were talking with Randine about they have to have their spirituality for that miracle. I want to make sure that that is not being interpreted that if you're spiritual, then you're going to have a baby. I'm not saying that. I want to be clear on that. And what I want to add to it is that when you have this transformation from the work that we do, then whether you have baby or not, you're okay. And that's what we're looking for, because you've come to that feeling of whole and complete. You still want the baby, but that's that peace and unhappy situation where you're no longer suffering or being brought to your knees because you've come to a place of acceptance.
Absolutely. I mean, you could say, I mean, truthfully, Lauren, as a woman, you know, as a mother, I really get that when you are longing to give life, to bring life into being through your own body and to hold that baby in your arms. I mean, literally, there is, it's probably of all the drives, it might be the strongest. You know, we have the sex drive and the survival drive, but that drive, when a woman is ready to, you know, have that experience, you know, it's high grade, potent, chi, like, wow, you know, it's like the best possible chi that you can imagine. It's so, so powerful. So we have to begin by that, and not to minimize in any way the deep, overwhelming longing to have that experience. But what we know, and you're getting at that, Lauren, what we know is that the strength of that longing is also the potential for soul transformation. And again, I'm hearing women out there going, you know, what is she talking about? And I don't want to hear this. And I just want my baby. But it's like, this is what we get called to in these bodies. You know, we are at a time on this planet where we actually don't even know what's going to be left for our children. I don't know what kind of world my granddaughter is going to be facing in 20 years. You know, when she has that moment of wanting to have a child, I think what we are being called to face now, when I talk about, you know, the new story, is that we are part of a much bigger transformation that's happening here. That there's a calling to surrender in a certain way, our own knowing, our own will, and to be humbled by the grandeur of what it means to be alive on our planet. The opportunity, as I see it, is a kind of coming to a certain kind of maturation, a certain kind of surrendering that maybe humans have never had to face in the same way before. You know, as we move into these experiences, to know that there's a larger wisdom at work. So that doesn't mean, like you said, that we give up that longing. and that desire. There's no way you can.
You actually cannot really, but there is a transformation where it's a different energy. There's the desperate needing to have a baby, which I think can have a negative health impact, both spiritually, yes, mentally, physically. And then there's a desire wanting. So you'll never stop the desire wanting, but it's a different impact on the body.
Yeah. And again, to stay, because I'm trying to stay really embodied here in this conversation, it's exactly what I'm saying. Like, I, of course, am never going to give up wanting my granddaughter to have a beautiful, peaceful, rewarding, gracious life, to have that experience of living on a planet of abundance, of nourishment. I want that. But if I start getting into that, it's somehow what can I do to make that happen? And I become desperate around it, something short circuits. And I appreciate that we're being able to get to that, Lauren, because I think what you're saying, I see it. When my self-will runs riot here, it's destructive. It doesn't support her. It doesn't support life. It doesn't mean I don't still, with all my heart and soul, want that for her, pray for that for her, will do everything I can to bring that possibility into being. And the quality that we're talking about here is the quality of the shift in consciousness that I believe our dearly beloved planet is asking of us as parents, grandparents, guardians of life, that we work with these larger than human, beyond human energies, and trust that they want to support us, that there's a larger story underway.
And through this transformation, this journey, this fertility journey, we're seeing conscious fertility. People are being drawn to their conscious work. Conscious work is inner work, basically. So they're being, yes, drawn to their inner work.
Yes.
So conscious fertility work, so self-care, then, and more than just self-care, but self-care is part of that inner work, to conscious conception, to conscious parenting.
Yeah.
And that's where...
And conscious grandparenting.
And conscious grandparenting. And that's where the planet gets to heal, because the women I'm seeing, you know, and you talk about the longing, I'm a man. If you haven't heard in my voice, the sound of my voice, and I will never have that longing for a baby, because I'm just, it's not how I am. I've witnessed it. And what I have witnessed in the women that I've seen is when they've done their inner work and they've done the conscious work, they do come to a place, many of them, where they went from needing to have this baby, that crazy desperation needing, to still the desires there, but they know they're going to be okay if they don't. They want it and they know they're going to be okay. So they come to that place where they're going to be okay. And I call that, they come to that place of being at peace in an unhappy situation. And for many, they go on and have that pregnancy.
Yes. Well, that's...
And many don't as well. I want to share, and they come to do the conscious work thinking, Lori, that, okay, I'm doing this to get pregnant. That's great. Whatever brings you to do your conscious work.
Yes.
In this case, that's what brings it. But it's,
yeah,
not very long into the work that the focus isn't as much on the baby as in their own healing,
yes,
their own trauma, their own inner healing, their own programs. And then they come to a place where they're like, I really want this baby and I'm okay if I don't have this baby. And some go on to have the baby and they have such appreciation for this child because they work so hard, and there's just a different energy of their parenting because,
yes,
it was so hard to, they're so grateful for this child. And those that don't also find a way to bring in that energy of the Tao of mothering and being of,
yeah,
support and stuff. They find they're okay.
Well, that's it. I think that when we say, what is Gaia asking of us now? I think Gaia is asking every woman on this planet to think of herself as a mother, as a goddess, as a healer, as our mandate is to care for life. To care for life. And I think, I mean, again, I am very grateful to Randine Lewis, who actually was able to put that phrase, bring that phrase to her work, to say that every single woman is fertile, whether she has, you know, gives birth to an infant or gives birth to a book or gives birth to a relationship or gives birth to herself, gives birth to mothering other children that may not have come from her own body, fertility is a woman's birthright. And fertility is the birthright of our planet. I mean, I look out in stars at night and I think, is there another planet out there as fertile, as lush, as able to heal as our planet? And I think we as women actually are microcosmic expressions of Gaia. And our trials, our tribulations, our longings are connected to the planet. So it's hard to hear this or even to say it, but I really agree with you that the work that we're invited to do when we move into pregnancy is, yes, it's about becoming a parent, but we have to be open to, it's not totally under our own jurisdiction what we are being a parent to.
For those that want to do their inner work, to do their consciousness work, what are some of the tools and methods to help cultivate their consciousness inner work? You talked about, we know acupuncture is a nice way to move the energy and bring on a state of relaxation. You talked about essential oils. Do you use breath work or meditation or what other things do you
use? So I would leave people with one practice that I think is central to everything we're talking about. I mean, the pause practice, which I talk a lot about in the book, The Alchemy of Inner Work, which is just a very conscious remembering that when I'm getting jacked up, when I'm getting that sort of driving need or moving out of a state of centered serenity, that's a signal to pause. And I use the acronym RSVP, Responde, s'il vous plaît, to just remind people to respond rather than react. And this is all in the book, but the R is to recognize that it's happening. And the S is to simply stop. And the V, where I sort of fudge it a little bit, is reversing awareness. Look inside. Care about your own body. Notice your breathing. Maybe put your hand on your body as if you're putting your hand on the back of a wild animal and calming them down, or your own infant, your own inner child, and calming them down. And then the P is get present to what you need in that moment. Maybe you need your partner to put their hand on your back and just say, it's okay. Or maybe you need to put your hand on your partner's back and say, it's okay. Or to take a bath or to have a drink of water. So the pause practice, RSVP, is a central alchemical practice that we can use in all situations. You know, even after that dinner and glass of wine that you talked about at the beginning, to take a pause and come into relationship to the self, to the other, and know that in that space of the pause, that's when the spirit comes. That's when we're guided by the Shen, by that light, and we make a space for that. So that's a practice that I teach all my patients. I know, Lauren, we're getting to time here, but I would give one other practice.
Let's do it.
Okay. So the pause practice is a central alchemical practice, and it's the recognition that you're triggered, and that could go for your trauma's triggered, or you're activated, your will, you're pushing. So you do that practice. And then the other practice is the heart meditation, which is also my favorite go-to alchemical practice, which I think is very important for women in this conscious conception, conscious gestation, conscious parenting. And once you have the baby, you really need the heart meditation because you're going to be up all night and exhausted. So the heart meditation is that you just bring your awareness away from the outer world. In the Taoists call it, the alchemists call it reversing the handle of the stars and looking within. So you drop the awareness out of the head, out of the mind, out of the thinking, out of the numbers, out of the timing, down into the place where you feel your heart is. And you just take a moment to be aware of the heart space. And the next step is that you imagine that you're breathing in and out of that space, that heart chakra space, as if the heart has its own little set of lungs, and you're breathing in and out through the heart itself. And then the third step of this heart meditation is imagining a place, a being, a person where you feel unconditional love, unconditional care. So it could be a deity that you feel connected to, Kuan Yin or Mary or the Buddha, or it could be a tree or a beach or a mountain. It could be you imagine being held in the arms of a person that you, where you feel really safe. Or it could just be saying the word love again and again and again. So keeping the awareness in the heart space, breathing into the heart space, and then filling the heart with that feeling of love, of unconditional acceptance, of a place, a being, an animal, friend. And that will have an immediate effect of regulating, of synchronizing the heart and the mind, the nervous system. It's a beautiful practice to bring into every aspect of conscious pregnancy, conception, gestation, and parenting and grandparenting. I have to use it all the time.
Lori, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and to share your ideas, your thoughts, your wisdom. I want to remind our listeners that Lori has a couple of books out there, Kigo, Acupuncturist, Five Spirits would like that book. And then I think anybody, in particular, those working through fertility, The Alchemy of Inner Work also. And you can also check out more about Lori on her website on anewpossibility.com. And yeah, you can always check me out at AcuBalance for conscious fertility work. Lori, thank you very much.
Yeah, Lauren, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Conscious Fertility, the show that helps you receive life on purpose. Please take a moment to subscribe to the show and join the community of women on their path to peak fertility and choosing to live consciously on purpose. I would love to continue this conversation with you, so please direct message me on Instagram at Dr. Lauren Brown, that's Dr. Lauren Brown, or visit my website, laurenbrown.com. Until the next episode, stay curious, and for a few moments, bring your awareness to your heart center and breathe.